Welcome to the Spirit School of Ministry podcast, where we discuss discipleship in everyday life. Hey there, Bob here, Pastor David there, Pastor Liz, straight from overseas. How long will we keep you here?
I don't know. We'll
see. Against your will, that is. Not just, we shall see, huh?
It's not my will, but...
Right. So I knew a guy so that good. Said that once. You don't want to end up like him.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, listen, let's get right to it because we have a lot of studying to do today.
Good.
Okay.
We're going to study Proverbs, the entire book.
Oh, good.
Today. Okay, perfect.
We're going to do some speed reading. No.
Let me sum it up for you. Don't be an idiot.
Don't be
an idiot.
No, wait a minute.
Think of what an idiot would do, and yeah. Don't do that.
Exactly. Like,
don't be so stupid.
Great advice hurts my feelings every time.
That's a good one, David. Yeah. David, maybe you should just keep giving us things like that, and we'll just sit here.
Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Yes.
That's actually what it says.
It's a good thing. We'll do with Proverbs 1. We'll start. What do you think?
Good.
Okay.
Do it.
So maybe I'll just read a little bit of it, and then we'll talk.
Excellent.
Okay. And we'll go back and forth. We'll see how long that works, because that's a big proverb to deal with, especially if I keep rattling on talking about nothing, which I like to do so that we don't have to get into this serious stuff. Okay, Proverbs. Okay. The beginning of knowledge, it says in my little app here, which is really awesome. But the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. Well, I'm just going to stop there. Okay. That was a little too much to go through. Like, there were so many words that went on there that I think we need to just start at the beginning. Wisdom. What do you think? When I say wisdom, what do you think? Pastor David, this could be a book coming out of you. I know that.
I don't know. But wisdom is... It's not just knowledge, because wisdom is knowing how to use information. And I think there's all these different terms are they're actually differentiated. So you're going to have terms throughout this whole book, like knowledge, wisdom, instruction, things of that nature. And so it is good to just define them. So I would say, like, instruction is teaching, like from the law, from the Torah. I would say knowledge isn't just head knowledge. It's actually covenant knowledge, being in a relationship with God.
Yeah.
So that's one that could maybe trip someone up. And then wisdom is knowing just what to do in given situations.
Yeah.
The Bible can't spell out, how you're supposed to handle every single situation.
Right.
So instead, the Holy Spirit gives us Proverbs and the other wisdom literature to make us people who are wise. So we're not just looking, what's the rule for this situation? No, we can actually be led by the Holy Spirit and be led by his instruction and his knowledge in order to operate with wisdom. So that's just, we could say so much more about wisdom. I know, you both have insights on it.
Yeah.
So maybe that helps just differentiate.
Just beginning. I think everybody has their opinion about what wisdom means to them. What does it mean to you, Pastor Liz?
I think, I think one of the distinguishing things about wisdom is that it doesn't depend on intellect or intelligence. Actually, I think that there's some things about it that it's more spirit driven than education driven. I would say it that way.
Yeah.
That there's a source of wisdom, and that it's a supernatural source. It's not a natural source.
Yeah, I like that. Mm-hmm. When I think of wisdom, and I know I've shared some of this with my notes with you also, and it's one of my first things I always go to is I actually go to him. To Jesus. We can talk about that scripturally if people want to know. In Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, we go to chapter 1, verse 30, and it says, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. He became a lot of things. One of those things was wisdom.
Yeah.
Right. So tapping into him, knowing him is actually knowing wisdom. That's where I always go. But there's a whole lot more about wisdom that I think we should discuss, because like you both started to jump into that. I love it because wisdom, it has so many things that it affects in your life.
Right.
It's designed to affect your life, actually. If you'll, and this is the interesting thing, it's if you'll let it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to throw a couple of things out there, a couple of thoughts to you guys, and then I'd like your comments.
I just want to touch on that real quick.
Yeah, because
this is one of the places where you really see Christ in the Old Testament. You see Jesus as wisdom. He has a voice. And interestingly enough, a lot of times he's portrayed as a woman, right? Like the wisdom is portrayed as a woman.
The spirit of wisdom.
Yeah. And which actually speaks to the bride of Christ, right? I mean, it speaks to the fullness of who Christ is. But I think it's important. Sometimes it's people have a hard time seeing, you know, their understanding of the New Testament God in the Old Testament. And this is one of the places where you can very clearly see Jesus, see Christ speaking and how he thinks and how he perceives and how he, his essence of who he is. You can see him really clearly in the Proverbs.
Yeah. That's so good that he's revealed early on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Proverbs 8 talks about the wisdom of God, the capital W wisdom. You can think about through which God created the universe, and the Jews of Jesus's day equated that with God. They equated that. Mm-hmm. And Jesus even says in Luke 11:49, therefore the wisdom of God said, I will send them prophets and apostles, some of whom they will kill and prosecute and persecute. And who's sending apostles? Well, Acts 13 says the Holy Spirit sent Paul and Barnabas as apostles. So this wisdom of God, it's equated with Jesus in Matthew 23. He says, I will send the apostles and prophets. Mm-hmm. It's also created or equated with Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's equated with God the Father, because he's the one whose manifold wisdom in Ephesians 3 puts to shame the principalities and powers. Mm-hmm. So if you don't have a connection with God, you don't have wisdom.
So you see a revelation of God in wisdom.
Yes.
Wisdom actually reveals him. It's like pulling back the curtain in so many ways. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that people's different takes on what and who wisdom actually is, who he is. Mm-hmm. I have a couple of, I was actually seeking the Lord early this morning about some of this, and just a couple of thoughts came to mind. I want to run them by you and let you comment on them. So the first one was considering wisdom. I look at it as advice, not commands. Now, I realize that Jesus gave commandments, but when you look at wisdom and the way it's portrayed, it's not like thou shalt do. Mm-hmm. This is more like I'm giving you, son, advice. You get the opportunity to take it. So the couple of thoughts that came to my mind with that was that these are possibilities, not guarantees. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times people go into the Proverbs and attach to them a guarantee. If I do that, absolutely this will happen. Mm-hmm. And so they're trying to pinpoint things. If I could just check that box, this happens for me. In reality, he's giving you what I like to call a compass rather than GPS. Yeah. He's like saying, hey, this is the way you go. And when you go, you're going to face a lot of different things. And a lot of times people, when you face things that were not expected, okay, and you don't use wisdom, you're just looking for the box that you checked a long time ago. I did that and this works. That then you don't actually apply wisdom. You just apply what you did in the past, kind of religion.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know.
There's a lot of stuff. To
you? I said a lot there.
I'll let you have something.
Good. I was just going to say, I think it's the difference between principles of God and maybe laws, like the Old Testament law of like, don't do this, you should do this. In this circumstance, you do this. When you see this, you do this. Mm-hmm. But wisdom is the principles of God that are applicable in all sorts of different situations. The principle remains the same, but the application may change. And that's where the listening to the spirit of wisdom is required, because it's not just like you were saying, tick the box. I did this, this, and this. This is what I do in this situation. Mm-hmm. This is how someone told me to do this time.
Right.
You know, or last time. And so I'm going to do it that same way again. It's listening to the spirit of wisdom and applying the principles of God in that situation.
Right. I mean, in verse 3, it says, receive instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. Mm-hmm. So he's teaching you how to be a person of justice, mercy, equity, compassion, integrity, that it's going to have fruit in your life. But what does it mean to be just in one situation versus another situation? Mm-hmm. It's not A plus B equals C.
Right.
And so if you're not in that relationship of covenantal knowledge with God, you won't be guided. And I love what you said, how the genre in Proverbs, it's wisdom literature. So it's not a guarantee. It's not what always happens. It's what generally happens.
Yeah.
So Proverbs, and you know, it says, you know, the righteous, their house is full of silver and gold. Well, always? No, in general, you're going to prosper if you walk in the fear of the Lord. Mm-hmm. But then you got Ecclesiastes, which is also wisdom literature. Mm-hmm. And that says, look, there's an evil out there that you work really hard and all your treasure goes to someone else.
Right.
And so it's not saying like this is absolutely what's going to happen. If you do this, God is obligated to give you that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And people read it like that. If I raise my child in the way he should go, he will never depart from it.
Right. Absolutely.
And they pray that. That's a promise. I'm sorry if I'm stepping on someone's toes here. Pray it in faith, right? But it's not saying your child no longer has a free will.
Right.
They do. But in general, if you raise them in the right mm-hmm. way, they are going to abide in that. Mm-hmm. So you cannot look at it as guarantees and as prophecies and things like that. Mm-hmm. But it's the Spirit showing you how to walk in a certain way. I really like the idea of a compass.
Yeah.
That you said.
Yeah. It gives you the direction. But like I said, when I was seeking him about just generally, a few things came to mind. That was the first thing, but he put it in context for me. He said, because it involves maturity and application with patience. Mm. So there's a, like you said, well, the righteous, they'll be, mm-hmm. a person can interpret that as, if I'm living any kind of righteousness with God, all of a sudden my house is filled with silver and gold. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't know what treasures are actually then. Because if all your treasures are silver and gold, you missed out on most of the treasures in life, actually. Mm-hmm. And so so much of that has to do with maturity. A child will be like, oh, I want presents. You know, I want little things.
But lollipops.
Lollipops. Yes, they love those things. but the reality is that a mature individual actually understands the principles, like you said, Liz. They learn how to apply the principles to the occasion.
Right.
All right. And then it's not a guarantee. It's not like you do this and it will absolutely turn out this way, because then what we do is we have God on a little leash.
Of course.
And we like, he does this for me. He does that for me. And, and meanwhile, life is filled with all sorts of turns. And if you're not mature and know how to negotiate the turns, you're driving off the edge.
Right. Yeah. I think one of the words that you hit on, David, was the covenant aspect. It's covenant versus contract, mm-hmm. right? It's not the contract of if I perform this, you will mm-hmm. perform this. If I do this, you will do this. Mm-hmm. It's the covenant of we're walking together and whatever faces me, you have wisdom for it. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to lean on you, rely on you, as we see later in the Proverbs, mm-hmm. not lean on my own understanding, but trust you yes. in it and trust you that you have a way for me to walk in this that's upright, that's mature, that's righteous, that's full of justice and displays the nature of God. But yeah. that's the covenant aspect of it.
That's really
yeah.
good.
Yeah, I think the real problem with it is like what David was saying earlier, is that when we start reading through Proverbs, and if you just start like, let's take that one scripture
right.
and make it a law and make it a commandment, or let's make it a guarantee. Mm-hmm. And then see, I'm putting my faith in there, so it's going to happen. I have total trust and faith in there. And it's like, that's not what wisdom's about, actually. Right. It's understanding he's a faithful God.
Yeah.
But how he demonstrates his faithfulness in every circumstance is completely different. And you don't know that just, the first time you come to Jesus.
You
it takes time to go realize, oh. And that's why when you see immature people fail in God, it's because they just have this expectation that God, I just like, put the quarter in and Jehovah Genie comes out and gives me what I did it. I said it and that's the way it goes.
Yeah.
And it's not a good way to serve God, actually. Mm-hmm. It's pretty, you can be very disappointed in that immature way.
And you don't need wisdom if you can control God.
Right. Right.
If you can control the future, you don't need wisdom. If you absolutely determine things through your sorcery and how your religious works control God, you don't need wisdom. You already guaranteed everything.
Yeah.
You did everything you need to do.
So crazy.
Yeah.
There's I've got lots of other like thoughts I've got about this, but I wanted to, we'll just continue to read. It's interesting because it says, in the beginning of those scriptures, it talks about wisdom and understanding and instruction and justice and judgment. I mean, it just ran through mm-hmm. a group of words that have so much depth to them. Each one we'd have like, okay, a whole 10 podcast on judgment, you know, what that really means and what it really means to us today. But, and maybe someday we'll do that, you know, but it's also verse 4 goes on. It says to give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. You think that's just the guys? Probably 80, yeah. 90%, maybe 100%. I mean, since he calls wisdom a girl also, they already got that, right?
Not good that the man be alone.
Right. Listen to your mother. Well, what do you think? What do you think, prudence? Talk to me, Pastor David.
Prudence? Well, I think it's related to the idea of discretion, of just like, knowing when to be quiet, knowing when to move, knowing when to wait. Later on, he'll say, don't hasten after the enticement of sinners. And young men, young people in general, were more likely to be impetuous and led by emotion, which is normal. It's like, we can all understand that. But he's saying, how you said, maturity comes when you patiently apply these principles.
Right.
And I mean, I've been reading Proverbs since I was 14, you know. It was like one of the only scriptures that made sense when you're a kid. You're like, oh, okay, I'm supposed to do this, you know. But every time you read it, you see it a little bit differently, you know, based on encountering life. But I think discretion's really hard. It's really hard to learn. It's something that obviously I'm still learning, and I think all of us are learning. We want to just announce everything good that we do. We want to announce all our good intentions. And really, like, waiting on God is a huge element of wisdom. Waiting on God, waiting on his time, on his word, that is going to be what is later talked about. He goes on to talk about the fear of the Lord and the instruction of the Father and resisting sinners, you know, avoiding snares. You can't do that if you're just sprinting ahead full speed.
Right.
You're not weighing your decisions. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Well, I think that prudence and discretion we're talking about there is, I mean, when you're not prudent and have no discretion, it's in direct contrast to wisdom, actually. It's in direct contrast because it brings pride into the game there rather than God's way of wisdom. And so you're right, as someone that's immature, they want the attention, they want the notice, they have to be seen at all times. Yeah. And meanwhile, they can't just do what they're supposed to do because there's no acknowledgement, there's no star, there's no, you know, brownie point or check.
No respect.
Again, I love that. But those are serious things. Yeah. Those are. What do you hear when you hear prudence, other than the song "Dear Prudence"? No. Which I hear all the time.
I hear prune juice, but that's not what. Give the young man prune juice.
I think he's saying there's a way that you can walk through life avoiding pitfalls. Or you can just crash through it, right? I think that's kind of what he's saying. Like, there's a way to navigate.
Yes.
That's better for you and better for the people around you. And you can learn how to do that rather than just bluntly, crashing your way through life, you know?
It is good when someone does that because they show where the landmines are. They already blew up all the landmines ahead of you. So that's kind of cool. You can.
I feel bad. I feel bad. She's looking at me when she's saying that. I'm like... Yeah. All right.
We had this picture, like we had this big pit bull dog, right?
Oh yeah.
And we had this big table with this crossbeam underneath it, and on the other side of where she was, there was some food that fell on the ground. And so, rather than going around the table, she just rammed her head into the table and pushed the whole table to get to the food. Now she got to the food, but like, was that the best way? Like, was, you know what I mean? Like, she could have. Showed a little discretion and prudence and gone around this big, heavy thing.
You know, that's a great picture. I can just see really there's somebody out there listening right now going,
So I think that's the whole thing. That's the whole thing about wisdom. That's the whole thing about wisdom. And that it's not just about the outcome. It's how you get there.
Right.
Right. That's what he's trying to say. Like, there's a way to go through life where you can really avoid pain, difficulty to you and to the people around you. And God can help you. That. I don't know. That's the picture that came to my mind.
So that is a great picture.
Yeah.
We need to like put that picture up with this. This dog pushing through, everything falling over, but I got the bone.
Exactly. Like a dog with a bone. Some people are like a dog with a bone.
I love it. Okay, so I wrote more thoughts,
okay,
and about just wisdom in general. I said, wisdom has many faces and applications in life. Generally, I think that's true. It takes on a lot of, like we've been discussing, it takes on a lot of positions, if you will, purposes, given the situation. Mm. So I don't think that, like I said, if you're looking for, oh, when this happens, I do that, it's that's not really applying wisdom because it's not applying it properly. Mm-hmm. It's... like I said, it's like applying it like a rubber stamp, you know, one size fits all, you know, and so it just doesn't work. You know, you're wearing snowshoes out in the middle of a beach. I guess that could work.
Yeah, it might be someone. A good idea.
Hey, I may have invented something here, but anyway.
So, dune walkers.
So many good ideas coming up on this.
Yeah, someone's going to get someone's making a fortune out there on my idea. I just know it.
Yeah.
So the book of Proverbs shows us how wisdom is distributed or should be distributed throughout life. It's because there is this distribution of wisdom that's supposed to happen actually for us, into us, but also distributed around us and through us, or else we're not really a proper example of Christ in so many ways. Any thoughts on that, or are you just going to look at it?
Yeah, no.
That's okay.
That's completely what's being...
I'm still thinking of the dog. I'm sorry.
That's completely what's being shown here, because he's saying it's a father's instruction to his son, and he's imparting wisdom. And over you would see that as a process, right? Like you're walking with your son and you're training him. You know, I think this goes to the idea you said, like being an example of wisdom and how Christ became to us wisdom.
Yeah.
A lot of times when I'm praying to God for wisdom, I'll claim the James 1 promise. That is a promise that you can claim, that it says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God and he will give to you without reproaching you, without making you feel like you're an idiot for asking, you know. That's my translation of it.
I like that.
And so when I ask for wisdom, a lot of times I get the idea of like Jesus would do this. Like, and that's a quicker way for me to figure out what to do than for me to think like, what are all the scriptures about this? Let me make a systematic theology of how to, you know, A plus B, like I said.
Right.
Because you just don't have time to do that. Nobody can live that way of like, oh, I need to memorize the Bible and understand what the law is. That's how the rabbis were, right?
That's how
the Pharisees were, yeah. You know, and instead you go, okay, I think Jesus would probably just go serve that person right now. I think Jesus would probably say it this way, you know? And so he showed us, like, he was wisdom. He was wisdom in flesh. He was the wisdom of God in human form. Mm-hmm. So we could see this is how you handle stuff. And so when we know his example and we become more Christ-like, we're becoming wisdom. Like, we are becoming that.
But that sounds like a lot of yielding to Holy Spirit is required there. I don't know about
you. Yeah, you have to take time to actually ask God, what should I do here? What,
yeah.
You know, could I be off on this? Could my perspective be wrong here? Could I be a little, you know, pit bullish at the moment?
Yeah, do you have any more stories from the from the living room? Well, what do you think, Pastor Liz? Anything? Want to say anything about anything?
I just I love this verse when it's talking about giving the young man knowledge and discretion, that wisdom is not based on age, and that God actually wants young people to be wise. That youth is not an excuse for foolishness.
Yeah.
That's not how the Lord sees it. He wants to instruct people from a young age in how to live, because he wants you to live the best way he knows for your life.
But isn't that just the opposite of what the world does?
Exactly.
Enjoy your college years.
Yeah, just live wild. Go crazy.
Yeah, make all your mistakes.
Yeah, spend the best, the most healthy, best, strongest times of your life screwing it up.
Get 70K, and then, get 70K in debt before you even
start. Right, and then live out all the repercussions of that for the rest of your life.
For the rest of your life.
You know, it's a terrible doctrine.
Oh, yeah. But it makes a lot of people a lot of money off these foolish...
Well,
young people. So
there's so much about that, by the way, because that's what happens, is people do take advantage of someone that wants to act like a fool.
Mm-hmm.
that wants to be a fool, not even just act like a fool, but be a fool.
Right.
Yeah. They take advantage of a person like that. They love that. And they'll coddle you and they'll give you, you know, just, you know, stroke you and say, oh, you're so good. You're so, you know, oh, it's only taken you 20 years to get through your 4 years of college. That's great. <Okay. laughs> And $800,000.
I'm starting to get convicted here.
Yeah, I know. David.
A lot of people go to college for 7 years.
They're called doctors.
Yeah.
They're called doctors.
Yep. He doesn't.
Yep, Richard. Yes.
You know, I went to college. I went in the front door and out the back. You know,
your mom goes to college.
Right.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
No, it's really important what you're saying, because you can avoid a lot of real bad starting. You don't have to start in last place in life. Right. If you read the word,
right.
You can let God give you a little bit of, you know, God's son privilege. Yeah. It'll be a little bit ahead of where you'd be without the word of God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll continue to read. A wise man, verse 5, will hear and increase learning. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel. Attain wise counsel.
Yep.
Does that mean they'll actually go look for wise counsel? Or it'll just come to them. You got that.
Seems like, you know. But it,
I don't know.
What's the answer here?
The answer is yes. I think that is the one of the hallmarks of wisdom is actually humbling yourself and knowing that probably someone else has a good answer for you at a time, or at least direction for you, or has, like it says here, understanding or counsel. And I think that is a hallmark of actual maturity, is to go, oh, well, maybe I just don't know it all, mm-hmm. and I should go talk to somebody. And yeah. But a lot of times people think maturity is you know it all.
Yeah, well, pride and wisdom don't go together.
Yeah. It's the bad mix, huh? It's they a really can't. Bad mix.
They're opposites. They don't mix.
The only guy in the Bible that mixed pride and even a form of wisdom was this guy Ahithophel, and he was one of he was one of Absalom's counselors who took over his father David. He took over his kingdom.
Yeah, let's and make it Ahithophel, a really hard time.
He had advice.
Yes,
and another guy Hushai, yeah. He had advice, and Ahithophel's counsel was better.
Of course it was.
He was more shrewd.
Yes.
But his advice was not taken.
Yeah.
Because God had actually intervened in people's hearts and minds to prepare David to come back and take his kingdom. And when Ahithophel's advice was not taken, he went and hanged himself, because he had made his whole identity about being the smartest person and having all the right answers. So that's, of course, you're not going to be making godly, wise decisions if you're proud. But even if you make some decisions that work and you're proud, that's also going to be a snare for you, because you're going to tie up your whole identity in that.
Right. Wait, are you saying that pride is pride? No matter what.
Yes, it's more, okay. It's more, I'm not going to say that, but yeah, you could say a lot about pride.
Pride is pride, no matter
Look
what.
Look at that, discretion. Discretion, I didn't
discretion.
Say
discretion. No, yeah.
God knows what I didn't say.
Pride is
pride. Oh, boy.
These are jewels. Jewels you're getting here. Pride is pride.
Pride is pride. Make a t-shirt about
treasures.
Lions. Lion pride.
Lie is a lie.
Stream of consciousness.
Wisdom is wisdom.
Truth is truth. Yeah. You know,
what it is.
It is what it is.
That would probably be like one of the dumbest statements you can say in life.
It is what it is.
And I think if you read Proverbs, you will stop saying that.
But right. If you read Ecclesiastes, you'll say it all the time.
You'll say,
it is what it is.
Vanity of vanities.
Well, and then if you...
It's all wind.
If you read the book of Revelation, you'll go, it is what it was.
And what it shall be.
And what it shall be. But that's a whole different story.
He is what he is.
Rose is giving us the fingers right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Three fingers. Yeah. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Okay. Right there.
You know, that's not wisdom cry.
All right, continuing
okay, so
on.
A wise man will hear and increase learning, mm-hmm. and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma. Enigma.
That's the riddler, Edward.
Yes, the riddle. The words of the wise and their riddles. Riddles are interesting. Where did that come from? Pastor David, you're the only one smart enough at this table to even approach these scriptures.
What? No, I'm not. I have read The Hobbit.
Riddle me this.
Yeah. I've read The Hobbit many times.
This is a Hobbit.
And Gollum and Bilbo have a nice riddle contest.
Wait a minute.
That was life and death.
See, that was wisdom just then. He went, what?
I could have either gone with Gollum's riddle contest or the Riddler. So
yes. That was, God put that scripture in there to see who would be prideful.
Yeah. Mm.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, there's riddles in life. And, you know, he's saying, like, you're going to be faced with certain situations where you need to see through people and the things that they're telling you. And they're speaking maybe things that they don't actually mean, or they're speaking in a deceptive way, or they're speaking in a way that just invites you to ask more and to draw out the answer. Mm. So it's just things in life that have value to you aren't always going to be apparent on the surface. It's not always going to be obvious. So this is what he's teaching, is like, the wiser you get, you're going to be able to see through more cloaks. You're going to be able to have more discernment and more discretion to be able to understand what people are really getting at.
Yes.
And to have the patience to listen and to actually figure out what's going on, not just to be, you know, manipulated by the Riddler. Mm-hmm. Right. And so
yeah.
I'm just like Batman. He never fell for the Riddler. He always saw right through it.
I love it.
Somebody out there was ministered to
by that Batman thing.
It was me. It was you.
The Dark Knight.
The Dark Knight herself is here.
There's a few Psalms that talk about riddles too. So it is in the Bible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think the important thing is that these scriptures are connected. Right? He's talking about a wise man hearing increasing learning and attaining counsels so that you can understand Proverbs and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Like, because in the company of other wise people, you begin to understand things that seemed like a mystery. Mm-hmm. You begin to understand things. There's safety in that, where I don't understand what this means, but you come together with a council of wise people and things begin to take shape and they begin to become clear.
Yeah.
And so he's giving an instruction here of this, like, there's a lot of mysteries in life and there's things in God that we don't understand right when they happen. But if we can stand in the council of other wise people and present these things and bring them to them and take the time to seek the Lord and to kind of watch how things begin to flesh out, then we begin to understand actually what God's doing in the middle of those things.
That's so good. It just struck me when you said that, it came kind of funny to me was that when we stand in the council of wise people later on in these, in Proverbs, I don't know if we'll ever get to that part, but it talks about wise guys. And there's a difference between wise people and wise guys.
Wise guys.
Some bunch of wise guys that
we always get
to trouble.
The mafia eventually.
Oh yeah. Yes.
Take the cannolis.
Yes. Leave the gun.
Oh my gosh.
I love it.
That's wisdom.
Yes, that is.
Leave the gun, take the cannolis.
Yes. So the fear, I really liked what you said, by the way.
Oh, thanks.
That was really good.
Yeah, let us not diminish what you said with stupid jokes.
Yeah.
It was actually good.
No, I know it's stupid, but it struck me because there's a difference between, you know, applying wisdom with wise people and applying foolishness with a bunch of wise guys, which later on, like I said, in the scripture, it actually talks about that. Don't be bound with these kind of people. Don't be. And they can, it can sound like a really good idea if you're immature and not wise.
Right.
Don't sit in the seat of scoffers.
Yes.
The scoffer is a big character in Proverbs.
Yeah.
The scoffer.
I would have been a really good scoffer. Oh, I feel like
I am.
I feel like that would have come.
Would you be? I don't know.
I'm really naturally.
It's interesting how we agreed with. I know. No. You would have been a really good scoffer. You guys are killing me with this one. You know, you have to laugh through Proverbs or else you'll cry the entire time.
It's pretty
especially
intense.
Especially these scriptures. And so now, the fear of the Lord is the beginning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction.
Yeah. Go for it, Pastor Bob.
The fear of the Lord. Mm-hmm. It's just the beginning. And, you know, there's a fear there that's a reverence. It's an understanding. It'll bring you to a place where you will appreciate God because you understand the magnitude of you're dealing with God. I think when we're foolish, we underestimate God. We underestimate who he is what he's capable of, what he's done, what he's promised, and who he is in general. And so the fear of the Lord, I know a lot, there's a lot about that. People are, you know, in certain religions, it's the afraid of the Lord, and we're not talking about that necessarily, but there is a respect and a reverence for him. That if you don't have that in your life at some point in time, and you know, here we are, we joke around and stuff, but I also know you too. And I know that, you know, there's a reverence for him too. There's a time when we come before him and not just a time in our lives before him is, you know, even in our joking and playing, we still understand that God's God. Mm-hmm. And we're not foolish about that. And that we will apply ourselves to his principles and not just dismiss them and just go, you know, joke through a life, because that's not the way it is. And I hope that when people hear our podcast, and we like to have fun and we like to enjoy ourselves, but there's a part about that I don't want people to miss, and that is that we're, you know, we've all dedicated our life to God because we revere him. Mm-hmm. Because we understand a little bit about the fear of the Lord, just a little. Mm-hmm. So that's what I would begin with.
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, the fear of the Lord in this sense is that he is the greatest reality of your life.
Yeah.
And you're always aware of his presence. And I don't think I can really sin in that state. When I sin, it's because I lost awareness of the Lord. And mm-hmm. I shoved him out of my mind somehow. And something else got in the way and deceived me into that direction. But when you're revering him, you're in a heart attitude of, I'm here for God. Everything I do, God sees. He will reward every action. Mm. Every word he speaks is true. His promises are true, and his warnings are true.
Yeah.
If he's the greatest reality, not what someone else thinks, or not my personal gain, or not my reputation, if he is the greatest reality, I'm going to start to operate in a very wise manner. You know, I'm going to live in a way that's in line with ultimate reality. Mm-hmm. Just God's existence and his, you know, his principles and mm-hmm. reaping what you sow. And I'm going to actually walk in the light of his face. Mm-hmm. I'm going to walk under the direction of his Spirit, because I'm actually calling him to mind. I'm setting my mind on the Holy Spirit. I'm setting my mind on things above. That allows me to walk on the earth in a way that's, you know, the way that he wants, that's in line with his instruction. There's a lot of other things we could go into on the fear of the Lord. But I think living in such a way that he's your greatest reality, it has to create wisdom.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's really good.
What do you got? Anything on that?
I
just want to, yeah.
Yeah, no, I just think you said so much in that. I think that foolishness is, I can live however mm-hmm. I want and it'll work out.
Yeah.
Which is just, so many people end up in that trap of things. But I love what you said. The fear of the Lord is understanding that he is the greatest reality, and that what he says is true is actually true, that there are consequences for the way that we live, for us, for the people around us, for the people that come after us in our family line. Like, there's mm-hmm. either way, blessing or cursing, like, there's the way we live matters.
Yes.
And the way we live before the Lord matters. And if we understand that, we will apply our hearts to wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The fear fool, the fool said in his heart, there's no God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He lives as if God isn't a reality.
Well, I think the fear of the Lord brings you to a reality of who he really is. There's no fooling around there. There's no missing right. him. You actually see him for who he is. And that brings a reverence. You know, I mean, I understand you use the word fear, but that is a reverence. That's like, sure. Oh, so you really are God, and you really will do what you said you will do. There, right. It brings kind of a soberness to your life. It doesn't bring unhappiness, by the way, because he's also a faithful God, mm-hmm. and he's also loving, and he's also truth and caring and all those other things. Those are all part of actually having the fear of the Lord, is understanding all of that happens. And a note I made to myself is that wisdom and knowledge is not just information. And the reason I bring that up is because a lot of times people can, like you were saying earlier, Pastor David, that people can kind of, like, you know, dismiss the fear of the Lord and dismiss God and just kind of push them off to the side just by foolishness. Mm-hmm. But I believe also sometimes in religion by information. You can push them off the other side of the table just by, like, I just have a bunch of information on God. So I say, I know this. So this is the answer to that thing. And there you go. And there's no relationship, because when there's fear of the Lord there, and I know people probably have never, I mean, I know a lot of people probably never considered this. Maybe we're helping someone there. That the fear of the Lord is actually a relationship with him. That is not just this being afraid of him and this awesome, awe-inspiring God, which he is. But it's actually entering into that relationship with him, that he's that God. And those are the people that, like we see throughout the Bible, that when they touched into that, they got to see the true awesomeness of God. We use that word awesome for everything. Like, ice cream is awesome. It's not, except if it's vanilla. But awesome, it should be relegated just to God, because everything else is not awesome. Really, right? I mean, it's just not awesome, but God is. And so, like I said, I know I'm going off on a little tangent there, but I think there's a relational component of the fear of the Lord that brings us into this understanding, not just understanding head knowledge, because that's that informational component that can get in the way, but understanding of personally who he is to you, and who he is in the earth. And that's when I believe we actually see God move in spectacular ways, like do things that, you know, a lot of times nowadays people, you know, they're hoping to see God move and, you know, separate the waters or do, you know, it's like, well, no, he's here to do that. And he is that same God. You know, I had a strange thought come to me the other day. I need to share it with you all.
Okay.
I was just thinking about when we talked about, when I just said separating the waters, or, you know, Peter walking on the water. Jesus, I was talking to God about that. And he said, I said, God, how come people don't walk on the water right now? And he said, well, they don't need to. He said, like, there was a need. There was a reason for that. Mm-hmm. There, it's the, you know, people want to do these miracle things just to do them. Just to look important, look like I know God and I can manipulate him. What's that?
I proved it.
I proved it. Yeah. And meanwhile, he's like, when it's necessary, it will happen.
I've heard testimonies of missionaries walking on water.
Yeah.
So it's
So
I always wanted to say what I totally agree, that, you know, the fear of the Lord is our relationship with him. In Psalm 25, one of my favorite psalms, it says, "The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant." And so it's not that terrorized fear. It's another favorite scripture is in Psalm 2 that it says, "Rejoice with trembling before the Lord." If you let that sink in, you're rejoicing in the presence of this great loving Father, but you're also trembling a little bit because he's someone to be taken seriously. He's not a tame lion, you know, in the words of C.S. Lewis. He's a majestic king. And if you're not a little nervous in his direct presence, you're probably not in his direct presence.
Yes.
Probably fooling yourself to some degree.
Right.
So,
wow. Mm-hmm. What do you think, man? Well, we could continue reading. You know what? I think I would like to end here, actually.
Okay.
And maybe we could take this up some more. I don't know where we're at in this podcast, if we're like 20 minutes in or 100 minutes in, or, you know, but
we're in the Lord's time.
We're in the line. Yeah. Kairos. No. Anyway. Well, with that, Pastor Liz, would you like to take us out any way you'd like? I know you'd like to take me out. But, I left the gun. No, I didn't leave the gun.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Well, Whatever God gives you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to, on your last point there, there's a big difference in accumulating information and accumulating knowledge and coming into a relationship with the Spirit of Truth. Mm-hmm. And that's really what Proverbs is talking about. That's what wisdom is walking with the Spirit of Truth, hearing his voice, and yielding to him. And really, that's what keeps us out of religion, because you can build a really nice religion with all your understanding and all of your studying and all of your, I have everything figured out. I got it all figured out, you know.
Charts, systems, professions.
Yeah. Yeah, you got everything. You have your answer. You have this is 1A, point 3. You have like everything figured out. And then meanwhile, the spirit of truth is there like, I'm here to guide you. I'm here to help you. You don't know everything. You're going to come into a situation where you don't have an answer. And then what?
Yep.
What are you going to do?
Isn't that like the crux of wisdom is knowing that you don't know everything?
Oh, that was wasn't that Socrates? Great, great philosopher. Yeah. I think he said that.
So. Not really. Yeah. You know.
Yeah. So what it's saying, like the beginning of wisdom is fearing the Lord. That's humility. There's a place of humility before the Lord that allows us to be taught and to be instructed. So that's, I think, how I would end this, is a challenge of can we bring ourselves into a posture of humility, knowing that we need to be guided. We need to be, and that's not a shameful thing. It's actually how we're designed to live. Yeah. To be guided by the spirit of truth daily, to be guided by the spirit of wisdom in all situations, because that's actually what walking with Jesus is. Yeah. That's what it looks like. Yeah. So that's my challenge as we leave today is, what is our heart posture? Are we open? Are we positioned in our life to think we need to have all of the answers? Or are we positioned in, I'm ready to depend on the spirit of truth to give me what I need each day?
Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to get the latest episode. And for more information, go to spiritschoolofministry.com.